Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the baptism of our Lord comes from our gospel reading of Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." In the name of Jesus. Amen. Comic book aficionados might know of a thing called Bizarro World. I'm not much into comic books, but I heard about such a place back in the 90s while watching Seinfeld. Superman is a villain. Wonder Woman wields a lasso of lies. There's even a Bat-Zorro who claims to be the world's worst detective. Now, I'm not going to try and shoehorn a comic book gimmick into my sermon this morning. Well, maybe I am. But I only bring up this idea of Bizarro World because I think it's permeated itself into our normal everyday culture. You don't even have to be a fan of comics to be able to guess the type of things that might happen in a place like Bizarro World. So with all that said, for the point of this morning, let's just think of this Bizarro World as a place where the exact opposite of what you would expect actually happens. Up is down, right is left. Everything is the reverse of what it actually should be. And so Jesus, he makes his way to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Now, baptism at that point is not yet a command from God. We find no specific calls for it in the Old Testament, except for maybe, perhaps, the ritual washings that the unclean people had to go through in order to be considered clean once again. But that wasn't baptism, not how we would know it. So yes, the high priest, he had to go through such washing before he could enter the Holy of Holies. And lepers, they had to wash themselves, I think, before and after they showed themselves to the priest once they had been ridden of that horrible disease. But it wasn't like circumcision. And that we heard about last week. That was laid out by God to Abraham, and was the very place where God actually cuts his covenant into the flesh. My point is that it doesn't seem as if Jesus had to forego or undergo baptism in order to fulfill all righteousness. And this is exactly what John thinks when Jesus strolls up to him on the shore and tells him to get his baptizing gloves back on. For John, he had been preaching and teaching out there in the wilderness for quite some time at this point. And he'd yelled at the Pharisees, called them a brood of vipers. And he told all the people to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Into the water with those dirty ones, the sinful ones, the unclean ones, be washed and be cleansed from the evil that covers you from head to toe. Receive the forgiveness that can only come from God. Don't think that this is a time to dedicate yourself to the Almighty. For what worth is a filthy sinner's dedication anyway? Instead, be plunged into those waters and come out clean. Be washed, be cleansed, be forgiven by God. This was John's daily sermon. It was a good one. He was sent by God to make straight the ways of the Lord. Predestined, even before his conception, he was going to be the one who was going to point to the Messiah. Call out with a loud voice that this man was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And once Jesus had burst onto the scene, John was going to decrease so that he could increase. This Lamb might be greater. He's going to fade out into the background and let the Messiah do his job. So when Jesus shows up on the banks that day, the last thing that John thinks he's going to be doing is baptizing him. See? Bizarro world. "I need to be baptized by you," John exclaimed. "And yet you come to me? This is all backwards. Look, Jesus, I don't want to go about telling you how to do your job and all, but in case you didn't realize, you don't need this whole baptism thing. You're the Christ. You're perfect and you're holy. You're the one who takes away sin, not the one who needs his sin taken away. You're blameless and perfect and holy and righteous. Baptism, that's for sinners. And I know what a sinner looks like, and it isn't you. I've been spending a whole lot of time the last couple of months out here in this river baptizing them, real sinners, Jesus. And I mean, goodness, some of the things these people have done. Anyway, even I need to be baptized, for I'm a sinner too. There just wasn't anyone around to baptize me. I thought that as soon as you showed up, I could retire my camel's hair cloak. You would lead me into the waters, forgive my sin. That would be the end of my work and the beginning of yours. John, he has it partly right. He does need to be forgiven, just like everyone else. But in order for Jesus to be the Messiah that forgives, Jesus has to be baptized. At the end of our text, we hear what happens next. Most of us are quite familiar with it. The skies, they open up. The Spirit of God descends like a dove, comes to rest on Jesus. And then that thundering boom of a voice comes down from heaven declaring, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." In the Gospel of John, not the baptizer, the other one, we hear John, not the other one, but the baptizer, tell the crowd that when he sees the Spirit land upon Jesus, this was the sign that the Messiah had come. Jesus' baptism in the Jordan was his anointing into the office of Messiah, the office of Christ. He was the Savior, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. But at the dismay of John the Baptist, Jesus tells him that he must be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And surely John didn't understand that. I mean, we've already gone over that bizarre moment that he can't seem to comprehend. And there's a part of me that doesn't fully understand it either. Was Jesus' baptism different? In a sense, yes, because he was anointed as the Christ, but what does that even mean? And how does his baptism fulfill all righteousness? Like we said, Jesus isn't a sinner. Not in the sense that it makes sense to us. He was perfect and righteous and holy. There was no spot or blemish on him. For if he was truly to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he had to be spotless. So his baptism isn't for forgiveness, at least not for his forgiveness. It's all so confusing, isn't it? Because this baptism, like we heard about last week, was not like his circumcision. Circumcision was of the law, and in so being, it was an act that actually had to be fulfilled by the Messiah. Just like all of the other Old Testament laws, Jesus had to actively fulfill them in what he did so that they might find all of their fulfillment in him, so that their fulfillment was no longer something that we had to fulfill. But there was nothing in the Old Testament about baptism. Yes, many things in the Old Testament foreshadowed baptism, but a foreshadowing doesn't need to be fulfilled in the same way as an actual clear-cut law does. Confused yet? Feel like you're in bizarro world? Good. Let's keep going. I already asked the question, what does it mean to be the Christ? And par for the course in my sermon, I haven't answered that yet. So I suppose it's time that I do. To be the Messiah means to be the Savior. To be the Christ means to be the Anointed One. Jesus is anointed in his baptism to be the Savior. He's going to free the people from their bondage. He's going to forgive all of the sins of the whole entire world. He's going to make clean, and he's going to make holy, and he's going to make righteous, which means that when he comes, he's going to take the people's sins off of them so that they are no longer demanded to account for them. But a Savior does not just take away sin and throw it all in a deep, dark pit. A Savior doesn't make evil things permissible, for evil things deserve judgment. And so to truly be the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world, Jesus would have to undergo the judgment for those sins. But this went so much further than just saying, "Father, punish me instead." For a holy and omniscient God would still know that the punishment wasn't really fair. A holy and omniscient God would still know that the sins were really and truly the sinner's sin and not the Messiah's. So something else something more has to happen. To be the Messiah, to be anointed as the Messiah, to truly be the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God who takes away sin, sin has to go somewhere. All righteousness was not going to be fulfilled until the sin of the world was taken off of the sinner and placed upon someone else. And so when Jesus tells John that they must do this baptizing thing, that they must go into the Jordan, and John has to dunk him underneath those waters, he is in essence saying, John, in order for this baptism to be a thing of forgiveness for you, it has to first become a thing of damnation for me. If I am indeed the Messiah, I can't be a halfway Messiah. I have to be a full-blown Messiah. Which means, in order for you to be what I am, holy, righteous, clean, and of life, I have to be what you are, sinful and unrighteous and unclean and of death. I'm going to be your Savior, which means I'm going to go into those waters so that those waters can be for your forgiveness. Which means I'm not looking just to take away sin, but am becoming sin. I am the murderer and the adulterer, the thief and the slanderer. I'm the disrespectful son. I'm the idolater and the blasphemer and the despiser of all the holy things. I am sin. I am the sinner. I stand in your place for you. And it's right there in those blessed waters where all of that's going to happen. So put on that baptizing uniform just one more time and let's go ahead and fulfill all righteousness. So there you have it. Bizarro world, and it's most bizarre. The things of God which bring us his good blessings, the things of baptism and the Lord's Supper, where we receive the gifts of Jesus, are indeed the very things in which Jesus receives the exact opposite. If we get his forgiveness, then that means he gets our sin. And if we get his righteousness, then he gets our unrighteousness. And if we get his life, then he gets our death. If in our baptism the Father sees us as his perfect Son, then in his baptism the Father sees him as a whole world full of worthless sinners. As a child, I oftentimes wondered why Jesus had to be baptized. It made no sense. Even today, still now, if I'm completely honest, it still doesn't make any sense. But the gospel never does. It's all just so bizarre, so unexpectedly backwards and opposite of what it should be expected to be. But then, of course, I suppose that's the way it has to be. For if everything made perfect sense and played out like it should, I would still be a filthy, worthless sinner in the eyes of my Heavenly Father. But I'm not. And neither are you. That's what your baptism means for you. For in your baptism, you were made to be like Christ Jesus, because in his baptism, he was made to be like you. When we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, like a day unlike any other. It truly does feel as if we're living in a bizarro world, which of course we are. And Jesus wouldn't have it any other way. In the name of Jesus,